This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raider podcast, Week 16. I'm your host, JT. We'll get you ready for the Buffalo Bills at O.co Coliseum this Sunday. And as we begin, I want to wish you and your family a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thanks a lot for coming back week in and week out to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. We have a special one lined up for you this week. Coming up next, the head coach of the Silver and Black, Tony Sparano, one of the all-time Raider legends and characters, the great Phil Villapiano, and Buffalo Bill legend and Hall of Famer Jim Kelly a little bit later on. Last week, the Raiders lost to Kansas City by a score of 31-13. That dropped the Raiders to 2-12 on the season. In that game, Derek Carr was 27 of 56 for 222 yards and a touchdown. The Raiders split the season series with their rival Kansas City. Buffalo had their biggest win of the year. They beat the Green Bay Packers at home by a score of 21-13 to increase their record to 8-6 on the year. The story coming out of that game was a national storyline. Aaron Rodgers had his worst game of the year. He was 17 of 42 for only 185 yards and two interceptions. He struggled. The Buffalo defense was exceptional in that game, and they really got after the Packers throughout the game. Great momentum builder for the Buffalo Bills as they come out to Oakland. And yes, this is the last Raider home game of the year. And for all the Raider fans listening around the globe, those who are fortunate enough to come out to the game, this is a big one in front of a sold-out house, the Raider Nation. Really excited to put on a show for this game. We kick off this week's podcast with the head coach of the Silver and Black, Coach Tony Sparano. And Coach, you got a big-time opponent coming in with the Buffalo Bills this week, a Bills team that beat the Packers 21-13. Taking a look at what they did to Aaron Rodgers, what are some of your concerns after looking at the tape?
Well, I mean, I think obviously you got several concerns. I mean, they're a good football team, but, you know, one of the biggest concerns, obviously, is their front, their defensive front. They do a great job on that side of the ball and really do a good job in the back end coverage-wise, you know, with, they don't really have to rush a lot of guys at you. They get a lot of pressure with their front people and cover you in the back. So, I mean, we got to do a good job that way of handling that front and giving, Derek some time to throw the football. But then, you know, there's also this is also a team that's outstanding on special teams. And, that was a problem for us last week and, you know, something that we got to get straightened out here. And they got, C.J. Spiller coming back. So I would imagine he'll be part of that too. So we'll have our hands full there.
Yeah, Coach, it seems like pass protection will be a cause of concern this week. Are you confident that the offensive line, especially in the wins and the rain game against Kansas City, the great performance against the 49ers, that you've seen enough where they can step up and have a big game, even if you have to leave a tight end or a back into chip block against Williams, that you have the personnel to slow down that pass rush?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I mean, man for man, I mean, they're probably, as good as, if not better than some of the fronts, most of the fronts that we've played right now. But, I feel good about where our guys are. They've had a good week of practice and, they're well aware of what happened last week, in the ball game there. And, I feel like they're going to play a good game.
Coach, you've said on record you're impressed with the way Carr plays and gets up after losses. He's a leader in the organization, in the locker room, on the field. He put it up 56 times in the loss against Kansas City. He's got a couple of games left here. Can you just talk about his spirit, his physicality? What is he doing that you really like coming into these final couple of games?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things he's doing the things that he's doing that I really like, first of all, he's a really positive kid. I mean, he always has been. He loves football and, really positive about what he's doing out there and what he's doing in the locker room and out in the community and those type of things. I mean, so that way there, you're not going to shake this guy. I mean, he's, he he loves the game. But, you know, as far as how he's gotten better right now, I think that, you know, where he's going with the ball, what he's seeing out there from a pressure standpoint, you know, he's one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the league. So that kind of experience he'll only get better with, you know, and he is completing passes out there, you know. So, you know, I feel good about where he is that way, you know, getting through his progressions and doing those type of things, you know. That's all part of his growth process right now. He's spreading the ball around and starting to find his tight end a little bit and doing those type of things. So, you know, I think the future's really bright for him.
Tony Sperano's our guest. Coach, you've been in the business a while, and as a head coach in the past, you were able to evaluate running backs running behind offensive lines, especially at the end of the year. For Latavius Murray, and the fans love him, Raider fans want to have a power running back with that type of size and speed and the ability to run away. What have you liked about his play so far, and what do you personally expect from him in these last couple of games?
Well, what I like about him is you know, I think he has exceptional vision. You know, I think he can see some things that are there that, you know, you can't really duplicate in practice all the time because of the speed of things. And that's what I've been impressed with. You know, and then, of course, he's a tough guy to arm tackle. You're not going to arm tackle him. He's a big back that way. And when he gets to the second level, he can finish runs. And he's made a couple of explosive plays. I mean, right now, you know, obviously the Kansas City game jumps out at you. But last week, he gains 28 yards on one carry. And, you know, he pops out of there, you know, a couple times. So I think he's getting better and better. He's starting to understand the blocking schemes better right now with what's happening in front of him. And he's an instinctive back, you know. And I think those kind of guys, you know, are built to last in our league. You know, what I expect from him right now is that I just expect that he continues to, you know, to improve each week right now, and that he gives us a chance here, you know, with the way he runs the football. And that if we can continue to do that with him and stay, you know, keep these games, you know, in a situation where we don't have to throw it 55 times, you know, and be able to feed him the ball, you know, 25 times, I'm kind of curious to see what the end result will be there.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned Buffalo's outstanding special teams. You have arguably the best kicker with the biggest leg in Janikowski. Are you just surprised that he's not getting enough attempts this year? I know you're trying to stay on the field on third down and move the chains and get into the red zone here, but Janikowski can be such a weapon. How has he been holding up? And are you surprised you haven't had more 50-plus yard attempts knowing he has such a strong leg?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, there's times and places, you know, situationally where you're going to kick those 50-yard attempts, you know, and I think that, you know, Seabass and I have had great communication, actually. You know, I really think he's holding up great, you know, as far as that's concerned. He's an exceptional, you know, kicker and a really good weapon for us. And, you know, I've gotten to a point right now where, you know, it's good, you know, communication during the course of a game. I get a pretty good gauge, you know, directly even from him, you know, on where we are and where he's good from, you know, and then I have to kind of figure out the situation at that point. But Seabass has been a great pro about, you know, the situation right now. I mean, we wish we could get more attempts there. You know, we've done a good job in the red zone with scoring. I mean, we're legitimately the best team in the league in the red zone and the scoring. We just got to get down there a little bit more. And, you know, whether it's through Seabass or, you know, getting the ball in the end zone, one way or another, get some points here.
Hey, Coach, when we flew back from London after the loss to Miami, Coach Allen lost his job. You stepped in and became the head coach. Now that you're looking at the final two games of the year, this is obviously the last home game in Oakland. Looking back on everything, the few wins that you've had, but all the tight games that you've been in, this team has stepped up for you. I knew you'd keep the team together, and you realized they were going to plug into you and listen to you with all the respect that you get from within the organization. Looking back from the San Diego game when you took over, heading into this Buffalo game, what have you liked most about this roster?
I just honestly, I think the things that I like most about it is, you know, we have a bunch of young kids here that, you know, I really believe, you know, his future is going to be really bright here. When you start to look at, you know, at Latavius Murray or Michael Rivera, you know, and then, of course, Khalil Mack and Derek Carr, but then there's the TJ Carries, the DJ Haydens, you know, the Jelly Ellis's, the Gabe Jacksons, you know, these players are all young players that are playing a ton of football, and I think that's how your football team gets better, is you become a better football team when those young players take the next step and you know, and start to mature a little bit. Well, these kids have gotten, you know, on the job training, you know, clearly here, and have played a lot of plays. So I love that about them. But the thing I love the most about our roster is the mixture of the veteran players that we have and those young players, and how hard they work and how hard they compete. You know, as a guy coming into this situation, I couldn't ask for anything more. I've been, you know, most proud of the fact that this football team has been resilient. You know, the result hasn't been what, you know, obviously we wanted it to be, but they've been resilient and they've given themselves a chance to win a lot of football games right now. And we're learning here. We're learning how to pull ourselves, you know, through some of those football games like Kansas City, you know, and San Francisco, and be able to win those games, you know, where in the beginning when we started this, you know, we lost a close game to San Diego my first, you know, in the first game, you know, that I had taken this over. So, you know, we're starting to figure out how to win some of those battles, and I think little by little here, you know, our group has gotten better, and I've been proud of them for that.
We're wrapping it up with Tony Sperano. Coach, when you were in the locker room Thursday, November 20th, making adjustments against Kansas City, you ended up winning that game 24-20, but on the field, the Ray Guy tribute, with all the Hall of Famers who were there in their gold coats, and you knew about that before the game and after the game with that celebration, can you talk about that side of this organization, how the Hall of Famers come back, the great history of this franchise, and what it means for those great legends to connect with those fans when they come to Oakland?
I think it's one of the, I think it's one of the most outstanding things I've been a part of, and I've been fortunate to be part of, you know, some organizations with great history like that, with, you know, the Cowboys and the Dolphins and their alumni. But I don't think I've ever been around an alumni group like this. You know, I mean, they really, you know, are involved and they really want to be involved. They come back. You know, it's been a great experience for me. It's been a great experience for our players. You know, to have, you know, Ray Guy out here. You know, we get a chance to, you know, to have Willie Brown out here every single day, you know, and in this building. You know, I got a chance to meet Jim Otto not too long ago, you know, for the first time, and you know, Freddie Biletnikoff and all that he does, you know, in our community and for our team. And you know, these things have been amazing to me, and you know, I really think that, you know, obviously, you know, our fans are proud of our alumni, you know, and you know, I know our team gets an awful lot out of that too. So you know, it's been a great experience, and you know, one that I won't, you know, surely forget, and I'm glad I'm a part of.
Coach, finally, as we wrap this up, when you took over, you knew that there was going to be speculation here. As the coach of the Raiders, you watched the way Jim Harbaugh handled it in the Bay Area when he came to Oakland. Now with two games left, I wanted to ask you a personal question. How are you handling this? You're a pro's pro. You've been in this league a long time. You've been a head coach. When there is speculation about not only your future, but the future of your coaches and other coaches around the league, how do you handle that each and every day?
Well, honestly, you know, I mean, I'm blessed with the fact that, you know, first and foremost, you know, I got a great family at home, a great support system there with, you know, my wife and my kids, and you know, and that's a good thing. But you know, I honestly and truthfully appreciate, you know, what Reggie has done for me here, you know, and the communication I have with Reggie, but also with Mark. You know, I mean, Mark's been tremendous with me, and we've had really open, you know, and honest conversations, you know, and that's been tremendous for me, you know, and I think that's the best way to handle it, is that, you know, when things go your way or don't go your way, you know, you make sure you get it out on the table, and you clear it up, and you talk about it. And that's been really helpful to me, to be able to go on to the next week, and, you know, and then getting a chance to get down there with our players and seeing their attitude and the way that they are, you know, I mean, every single day it drives me to want to do this job, okay, the best way that I can do this job, you know, and hopefully continue to do this job. But other than that, you know, I don't really put, you know, I don't worry about tomorrow. I've been in this situation before, and, you know, I have to worry about today right now and take care of what's in front of me, and that's, you know, the Buffalo Bills, and, you know, and hope that, you know, at the end of this, you know, people recognize that what we have accomplished here right now, and the way that this thing is starting to turn. You know, it's important to look at these young players and see the future of this organization down the road. And I think it's pretty bright.
Absolutely. Coach, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much for doing this. We'll see you Sunday on the sidelines against Buffalo. All the best.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to the head coach of the Raiders, who is putting his heart and soul into every day as the head coach of the Silver and Black. Our next guest is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Hall of Famer Jim Kelly, joins us on the Official Raider Podcast. Jim, we really appreciate your time, and you can't have much better momentum than that big win at home against the Green Bay Packers. Walk us through that day for you and how the Bills played.
Well, it was unbelievable. The thing is, when you look at your schedule early on and you see the games you're playing and you look at the end of the schedule and you see three out of your last four games are the Denver Broncos, the Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots, you're like, we better win some games, on the way to seeing those. And we didn't know, and even talking to some of the players, they felt very good about going into this game. And we were playing at home, which is a big plus, but what a game that was from start to finish. But I'll tell you what, as we all know, one or two plays during the course of a ball game could change everything. And that big drop by Jordy Nelson definitely helped rejuvenate not only the fans, but the players too. So, but the thing is, defensively, we got one heck of a defensive unit.
Hey, Jim, I want to talk about that defense because Aaron Rodgers is having an MVP year. I think you'd agree he's probably going to get the trophy at the end of the year. And the Bills completely confused him, got a pass rush on him, and the defense stepped up.
Yeah, defensive backs did a great job. We only rushed most of the time, only four guys, and we did get some pressure on him, but he had some time. But the defensive backs, probably one of the best games I've seen them play. And anytime you have a defensive play like that, you have a chance to win the game. I just wish our offense would get a little bit better. We'd be more consistent on that side. We'd be an unbelievable ball club if we just get more, better play out of different areas of the game. But you know what? Being and sitting at 8-6 right now with two games left, we feel pretty good. Even though the chances of getting to the playoffs is pretty tough. But I'll tell you what, I'll take where we're at right now.
Jim, talk about the emotion of what the fans have been through this year. You're so locked in with these fans, and they're behind your causes and your battle, and you're there on game day. And this is a team worried about ownership until local ownership came in. There were a lot of rumors in the offseason and the beginning of the year, and these Buffalo Bills fans, and especially when they had to leave to go to Detroit because of the snow, they stand behind this organization through thick and thin, and they were rewarded last Sunday.
Well, you're right, and the thing is, they have been here since day one. I'm talking about, these last 14 years, we have not been to the playoffs, and our teams in the past have been pretty bad, but they continue to support the Buffalo Bills. I mean, we could be, 4-9, and we get 65,000 people in a game, but really, there's not a lot to do. You can find things to do, but I'm just saying the Buffalo Bills, that is what people live and breathe for here. I'm telling you, when Monday rolls around after a Buffalo Bills game, their day, their week is dependent on how the Buffalo Bills played or how they did, whether they won or lost. And it's just the way it is up there. But they love their Bills.
Hall of Famer Jim Kelly joins us. Jim, I want to ask you about the Raiders because you go back with Al Davis. Now Mark Davis owns the team. It's been a long time since they've been back to the postseason and the Super Bowl, and they've been going through a lot of struggles. They got a young gunslinger in Derek Carr. What have you noticed about the Raiders from afar and especially their new young quarterback?
Well, I don't know a lot about them because, number one, they're not on TV very much here in the East Coast. But Carr's a good player. You get the experience. He needs the experience of getting in there playing a while. And I think he'll be all right. But the thing is, you're only as good. And I know it's an old cliche. You're only as good as the people around you. And he's got to get some good play out of not only, the receivers, but you got to get a running game going. And you got to be healthy on the offensive line. They've been through some things. What I like is their defense is not too bad. Khalil Mack, a big guy, is having a heck of a year. So, one of the things I think the Bills players do a very good job at is the distractions. I mean, people talk, well, they're 2-12. It doesn't matter. They won two ball games. It doesn't matter if you know, just the NFL. At any given time, a team could maybe not be quite as excited to go out and play. But when you've been there, like the Bills have in the past, that we haven't made the playoffs, so we haven't really had a chance at the end. These guys are really focused. But we'll find out come Sunday, though.
Hey, Jim, Andre Reed gets in, but also Ray Guy from the Silver and Black. That was a pretty good Hall of Fame class, and the Hall of Fame means everything to you.
Oh, it does. And you know what? As a little boy growing up, I never even thought about the Hall of Fame. I always looked at guys like, you know, Merlin Olsen, Deacon Jones, Jack Lambert, all the big names and guys that, you know, I love Dick Butkus. And even for the quarterback position, you look at Roger Staubach and Bob Greasy, Jerry Bradshaw. And then all of a sudden I walk into the room and there these guys are, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. A little small kid from Pennsylvania, 60 in my graduating class, 500 in my hometown, way on the boonies, and here all of a sudden I'm in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I didn't even dream about those things, but now we get Andre in, and he is the reason that I am in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was a guy that, you know, he great run after catch guy, probably one of the best in the NFL. But he made so many unbelievable catches, and I've been very blessed to have not only have him on my team and on my side, but I had James Lofton, I had Thurman Thomas, I had guys that are also Hall of Famers playing on the same side as I did.
We're wrapping it up with Jim Kelly. Jim, I have your website in front of me. It's fantastic, jimkelly.com. You have the My Fan clip, and we'll promote that. But I wanted to talk about Hunter's Hope, and what's the update there? The passion that you had for your late son, you continue to represent him well in your family. What's new with the website there, and how much money you're still generating?
Well, we're doing unbelievable. And just for all the listeners out there, just log on to huntershope.org. Look at what we're doing. What we're focused on is not just what my son had, a leukodystrophy, but universal newborn screening. And for all those mothers out there, grandmothers, when you have whether it's your granddaughter or your daughter, they have a baby. Every baby in this country, they get screened. They do the heel prick, you know, they get a little blood spot. They send it off to a lab. And unfortunately, in the United States, every single state is different on how many diseases they test for. So if you happen to be in a state that didn't test for that particular disease, too bad. And the worst thing about it is it's too late usually when you find out what your child has. Because they can't talk. They can't tell you what's wrong. My son was diagnosed at 4 months of age, but it was too late for him. So what we're trying to do is get all the states to up the ante on the amount of disease they test for. Because when me and my wife found out that thousands and thousands of babies in our own country die every year because they're born in the wrong state and didn't test for that particular disease, we knew we had to do something about it. So it's about time our government wakes up. We give billions and billions of dollars to everybody else. And God bless them. I know they have to do that, JT. You have to give money to different countries. But we have so many problems and issues in our own country that can be fixed. Save some of the money for our own kids. Let them dream like I was able to do as a little boy. Let these kids be able to, you know, look and see what their future can hold. And too many kids are dying because of things that we think are too important here.
Hey, Jim, finally, how's your health? What's the update there? And how proud are you or your wife and especially your daughter and everybody who's been sending out YouTube videos and you've been reaching out to your fans? I know this is the battle of a lifetime for you and you're coming through it here, but the relationship with your fans, but most importantly, your family who has stepped up and helped you along the way.
Well, I've been very blessed. I mean, I cannot ask for anything more than that. I mean, you know, my wife, my two daughters are by my side from day one. Of course, they always have been. But, boy, I tell you what, when you don't know what tomorrow holds, you do worry to a certain point. But so many people have come to my aid, the prayers, the well wishes, the emails, the text messages, the letters. I just got so many people praying for me. And I do have a long way to go. And anybody out there who's had cancer before knows that, you know, you never know what tomorrow holds. And you just keep praying that everything will work out. But every 2 months I have to have an MRI. I head back to New York City next month after the first of the year, have another MRI. Got to have those done every 2 to 3 months, and then hopefully I'll stay clear for a while. I've already been through it twice, but don't want to have it happen again. I feel pretty good right now.
Well, Jim, I'll tell you, on behalf of the Raiders, Mark Davis, the organization, and those diehard Raider fans who are going to welcome the Bills in on Sunday, everybody's praying for you. Everybody loves you and respects you. Thanks for doing this. We greatly appreciate it, and happy holidays, Jim.
I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you. And Mark Davis is a good friend of mine. It's good to see he's got some good grips. I just hope they start turning things around maybe next year, but not right now and not Sunday.
Take care, Jim. Thank you. All the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Once again, thanks again to Jim Kelly. He is a great human being, a friend of the Raider Nation, and I hope everybody's praying for him. And check out his website if you can at jimkelly.com. There's a lot of great information, and you could help out a lot of his charities. Finally, I wanted to wrap up this podcast with one of my favorite all-time Raiders, the great Phil Villapiano, Super Bowl champion from Super Bowl XI, a four-time Pro Bowler, the AFL Rookie of the Year when he came into the league. Phil did it all. Great player, great Raider, and he joins us on the Official Raider Podcast. Phil, you played in some of the biggest games in the history of the AFC, early in those rivalry games with Kansas City, the Dolphins, Pittsburgh, to name a few, all those great games, and you were a guy who didn't want to make friends before the game or after the game. Talk about the Raider family and what it meant to you and how you guys bonded together and played in all those great games in the 70s.
Well, it's exactly right. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. I just fell into a family that was, I'll give credit to Jim Otto. I'll give it to Ben Davidson. I'll give it to Daryl LaMonica. These guys that were here before me, when I came out here, if you didn't play their way, you were gone. And that's, I think, what's kind of missing is that family where, yeah, you didn't want to, and JT, that's right, I didn't want to make friends with anybody. Matter of fact, I used to tell, people, I don't want to go to another Pro Bowl game because I don't like getting to know the people that I have to play against, because I played where I absolutely gave you 100% of my elbow to your face, my arm around your neck. I don't care. I'm gouging your eyeballs out. And that's the way football was played in my Raider days, and that's what made us what we were. And don't make me a friend before or after the game. Maybe I'll be friends with, Terry Bradshaw now, but not back in the 70s. So it's different. And in football, that type of football hasn't changed. I watch a kid from Seattle run, and I love him. Oh, my God. Well, what's his name, JT?
Marshawn Lynch.
That's the Oakland Raider running the football. And that's the defense, the way they tackle. Hey, they played a little, maybe not so intense first half last week against the 49ers. But when they came out and beat them, that was true NFL championship football. And those guys are going back to the Super Bowl if they keep playing that way. Now, why can't the Raiders sit in their little film room and watch that and say, this is what it takes? Well, maybe they don't have the older guys on their team that really care, that are teaching them that's what it takes. Is there something wrong?
Phil Villapiano's our guest. Phil, I also love talking about your era when you played and you guys dominated in the 70s. You won so many big regular season games, but also under John Madden, you lost championship games in the conference and were trying to kick the door in to finally win the Super Bowl. How did that help you not only become a better football player, but a better man, losing those AFC championship games and then finally knocking the door down and beating the Vikings and winning the Super Bowl?
Well, it took a guy like John Madden to actually explain to us what was going on and how we were learning every year and how we were getting closer to being a Super Bowl team. And it's really crazy, and I didn't know it until it happened, until John explained it. The year that we finally pulled it out, and we should have won about five in a row after that, but I think it was all about a learning experience, and I like to remember everybody from the ball boys to the guy that keeps the clock, to the coaches, to the players, to the owners, to the cheerleaders. Everybody was in sync. And when you win a Super Bowl, that's exactly how it feels. And you can look at this Raider team right now, and you can see that nothing's in sync. I mean, even the black hole's not in sync. You got to get it all in sync, and then you can win it. and it takes a long time. And when I first got to Oakland, I think Jack Tatum and I and Horace Jones, we had three rookies starting on the defense. That's unheard of, to have three rookies starting and to think you're going to go to a Super Bowl. No matter how good you think you are and all that stuff, when you look back, you say, no way, because each one of those rookies will cost you a game somewhere along the line. And when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you don't lose a game, you know, like just because you don't know something. So you got to get your whole team together, and it took us a long time to learn that. And then, you know, right after that 76 season, we had 77, I think, against the Steelers on that new AstroTurf that they had. We couldn't even stand up that day, meaning we were just not an AstroTurf team. We lost about five or six guys that one day. And then, you know, we made it to the championship game, but we didn't win, and then things started falling apart. But I'm telling you, it's all about learning. And you could see the Seattle Seahawks right now are learning. And look with the Denver Broncos, how they kind of changed their offense around, where they're putting you're putting that run into their offense to go along with that prolific passing game they got. So, you know, they're learning. You know, with teams, you could see teams pointing themselves to the Super Bowl by figuring things out and getting tougher. And that's the type of game, you know, that's the type of teams that get to the championship. I love it. I love to watch this time of year.
Hey, Phil, last one. You played for Al Davis. Mark Davis is now the owner. He's got some big decisions to make coming up in the offseason. What does it mean to you to still be a Raider?
I love still being a Raider, and there's no other team. And you know what? You know what, JT? It's really crazy. It's to see the fans. Now, I'm going to be at the game Sunday, but to see the Raider fans keep coming back, they're very similar to the players. There's something about that silver and the black, and there's something about the Davis family and all that people want to be out there and people want to be a Raider. I mean, I bleed black. I mean, I can't stand what I'm watching. But I know somehow or another we'll figure it out and we'll get back on top. There's nothing like being a Raider. Nothing.
Phil, God bless you. I'll see you Sunday. I'll be there. Thanks for coming on, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you. Same to you, JT. See you Sunday.
Great knowing that Phil will be there on the sideline Sunday as the Raiders wrap up their home schedule against the Buffalo Bills. Hope to see you in Oakland. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT. Have a great week. And remember, keep listening to the podcast. Keep checking out the Raiders at Raiders.com. And go to the Raiders fan page on Facebook and on Twitter. We'll see you next week to wrap up the season as the Raiders travel to Denver to take on the Broncos.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.